Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring it down. Nobody wants to show you how. So if you're locked on your own, you can never surrender. And if your life won't lead you home, you can never surrender. And when the night is cold and dark.
Good evening and welcome to my 21st podcast of the Never Give Up Show. I am Bailey Smith, your host. I would like to, before I start anything, I would like to just take a moment to let my listeners know, Miami Surfside families, you are in my thoughts and prayers. And I'm sure everybody else that's out there listening, every single moment of every single day, I have not stopped watching. It's horrific. And I pray from the bottom of my heart, God gives you the strength to get through this. With that being said, I would like to say every show that I've had so far, I have been so blessed to have amazing, incredible guests. And I know that I always say, you know, I'm so excited to have this guest. I'm honored to have this guest or, you know, but I truly am. And some, you know, I'm not going to say one more than another, but this one special guest tonight is somebody close to me, somebody dear to me. Somebody I relate to in many ways. So first of all, I'm going to give out our phone number, 516-531-9643. While our guest is talking, I may jump over to you to ask who's calling so I could put your name in because somebody called before and the call, they ended up hanging up. So I'm going to mute myself. While our guest is talking for a second, nobody will even know unless I come to you to just say, who is this? Give me your name quick so I can plug it in. So when I bring you on to ask questions, I can introduce you. Okay. Tonight's guest is Cole Munger. You know, I don't even know how to pronounce your last name. Cole Munger. I'm sorry. I think I screwed that up. A.K. The Killer. She's here to share her story. Now, Cole is a coach at my gym, Intensity X3. I met her about 2.5 years ago, almost 2.5 years ago, when I was searching for a new gym. And we connected instantly, and it has a lot to do with her story. She says, I used to believe that my eating disorder was my enemy. I felt like I was stuck in a cage within my mind and I couldn't find the light. I believed strongly that my ED was here to ruin my life. Today, I see my eating disorder as a blessing in disguise. It's become my greatest. It taught me compassion and understanding toward myself and others. It showed me that being vulnerable can be the most liberating thing for our mind and soul. My battle with my eating disorder has helped me develop strength and courage, and it's given my life purpose in so many ways. Now that I can honestly and happily say that I am fully recovered, I have dedicated my life to show others through my example that it is possible to fall in love with ourselves again. I want to share my story in the hopes that it helps, if only just one person. Believe in themselves enough to fight their light again, to find their light again. Now, Coach Cole Manga, you're going to kill me for this, I'm so sorry. I don't even know how to pronounce her last name. We call her the killer or we call her Coach Cole. Gives about 17 classes a week, including small group training and personal training. She also does nutrition consulting. I'm going to say quickly this because I don't want to interrupt her too much during the show, but I've had image dysmorphia probably my entire life. When I walked into that gym, Coach Cole was the one to introduce me to the gym and give me my first introduction. And at the time, I was dealing with a child, a son, that was going through an eating disorder and was in a facility at the time, or I don't remember exactly if at the time, or I was looking for a place or whatever it was. But so we somehow connected on immediately. I don't know, I must have said something maybe about my domestic violence, something I've been through in my life, and we just connected. And she has that effect on so many people in our gym. I don't, unfortunately, get to take as many – I don't really get to take too many classes because I've been injured again. So I have to be very, very careful. I mostly do a lot of physical therapy in my gym when I do go. But she did help me last year after my first two car accidents. Yes, I'm car accident prone. God forbid, no more. Recover. I did. She was very, very supportive. And towards the end of last year, I began taking more classes and did her small group training to get stronger. And by the time I was done with 2 months of her small group training and doing the nutrition challenge, I myself have always had issues with food. And I truly was a different person right before this car accident in March. So whatever she said about herself in here is 100 million percent true. So without further ado, I'm going to give our phone number out one more time, 516-531-9643. We are also live right now on blogtalkradio.com/friendstalk. Never give up. And I'm going to bring Coach Cole on. Again, whoever has called in, I will at some point bring you on. So just be patient, and I'm going to bring our guest on. And welcome.
Hi.
How do you say your last name?
You can say it one of two ways. So you can say it, pronounce it in Spanish, monje, or you can say monge, which is what usually people say, kind of like sponge, but monge.
But I said manga.
Yes, all too familiar for me. I know it all.
Well, we never call you by your last name, so.
That is true. That is true. I am so beyond excited to be on this, Bailey. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I've driven you a little bit crazy for a long time, so thank you for being on.
About time.
So the show is yours. You know, while you're talking, I may jump. You may not even know. I'm jumping over to see who's called in that could put their name in. You won't even know. So you'll be talking, and I may just jump up for a second, split second.
Okay.
So, you know, I think I gave pretty much an introduction. You know, this show is about you and your story. That's why I wanted to talk as much as I could beforehand, because I'm a big talker, and I don't want to mix in. I want our guests to be able to ask questions when we get to them, and I want to keep quiet as much as possible. You know me, I like to talk. So this is your story from wherever you want to start, you know, where you start from until now. So, and we have an hour and 50 minutes, and we will take, you know, increments to ask, you know, for people to ask questions. So start wherever you want.
Got it. Okay. So essentially, I was basically diagnosed with an eating disorder around the ages between 14 and 15. I came to the U.S. when I was 10 years old, so I was actually born in Ecuador. And I come from a family that is very predisposed to eating disorders, not something that I'm proud and happy to say. Unfortunately, a lot of people in my family, on both ends of my family, have had eating disorders in the past. So it's something that's been very normal in my family, and it was never very much questioned because it seemed like it was just something that would happen. So when it came back to me, we were already in the U.S. We were basically apart from all of our family. It was just our core family, like my parents, my siblings, and myself, creating this whole new life. And there were so many changes going on, especially learning a new language, that I became so overwhelmed. By the time I was hitting high school, oh my goodness, the transition from middle school to high school was really, really tough. I was actually put up a grade above from where I was supposed to be. So that was even more overwhelming because the kids around me were much older. So I already started feeling out of place. I was 13 as a freshman. So the girls were already wearing their makeup and they had, you know, they were all developed and looked beautiful. And I looked like the most awkward 13-year-old tomboy. So to me, I guess it was my eating sort of became like a coping mechanism of things that I wasn't able to control. And obviously as a kid, you're not aware of those things. It's something that you just act out on. As the years went by, you know, it's something that I had to really battle through. It did a number of damage to my core family. It really hit us hard. My sister also had an eating disorder. So things were very, very heavy. It's not something that people know much about, families with eating disorders. It's tough on the person that's dealing with the eating disorder, and it's definitely tough on the members, on the family members that are supporting you. So essentially my family took me over to Renfrew, which is here in Florida. I believe it's Coconut Creek, mm-hmm. I think. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I was there. I was in an intensive outpatient care. I was there for perhaps almost a year until my insurance dropped me because they could no longer continue to pay. So they essentially said that I was fully recovered and ready to go. So they threw me out there back into the world with absolutely zero strategies or coping mechanisms to deal with my eating disorder, my depression, my anxiety, all these things. And back then I used to self-inflict. So I was a cutter. And the reason why I would do that was because the pain and anger and anxiety and desperation was so overwhelming to the point where I just needed some form of distraction. So the quickest thing that I would do was just, you know, cut through my skin just to give myself a break from the mental torture that I was going through on a day-to-day basis. And I kept spreading to my family. So this went on for years. After my insurance dropped me from Renfrew. I was on my own. I couldn't find a therapist that I found myself connected to. It was very difficult to find people that truly care about what's going on within you. So as I started going through this on my own and my family supporting me, my parents doing the best that they could with the little knowledge that they had about eating disorders, I started finding myself isolating myself more and more and more. I kept pushing people away from me. I kept getting angrier and just sinking deeper into this darkness. I got so sick. I don't want to name any numbers because it can be very triggering for some of us. But I got really, really, really sick. When it came to my senior year, I was 17. No, sorry, 16, going on 17. I had dropped to my lowest weight. And I had to go to the doctor's appointment for a general physical, for a general check-in. And they were checking my heart rate. And at that point, they told my mom that I was literally going to get a heart attack at any moment. So that's when really hit me for the first time that I could potentially lose my life and take my entire family down with me. So that was the biggest slap in the face for me to kind of wake me up out of this cage that I was holding. It's like that little slap of reality let in a little bit of light and made me think about, like, what am I doing right now with my life? What am I allowing to happen here? So that's when I took it upon myself and with the support of my parents to just dig deep and, like, help my body heal, because at the moment we just needed my body to recover. At that time, it was mostly just getting my body to gain weight again and, you know, get my period back again. So all these things were out of balance and whack. So my parents were very focused on making sure that I ate my meals. And I was doing my best to maintain calm because, as we know, food can be very triggering. So during that transition, I was very scared, but the pain of the pain of knowing that I was hurting my family so much was so much worse than the torture that I was feeling within my head. And that gave me so much courage to just move forward. One day, a few years later, once I started to gain some weight, my sister decided to take me to this energy worker. So essentially they do Reiki, and Reiki is this form of energy work where they're able to balance out the chakras and stuff like that. And at first I was very skeptical. I was like, whatever, okay, at this point I'll try whatever it takes to help me get out of this funk. So when she took me there, this lady did this energy work on me, and she finally helped me feel something other than complete numbness. For a long, long time, for years, all I felt was numbness or anger or fear or depression or just sadness. I wasn't able to connect with joy or love or any of those emotions. Colors literally looked gray. The moment this woman started doing energy work on me, it just simply shifted a little bit of that darkness and allowed me to just take a little bit of a deep breath and realize and remember who I was. And I started remembering this little girl when I was super, super young, like below 10. And I was this confident girl that was always on the road, always moving, super tomboyish. You could not stop me, always climbing trees and stuff like that, always happy to talk to strangers. And that was just my nature. And this eating disorder, when it got triggered, it just took all of that away from me. It made me forget who I was. It made me forget who I wanted to be. And I was just taking my entire life to hell. And my eating disorder became my life. I was so focused on, like, body checking, and the mirror was literally where I was at every single time. I could not step away from it. It was so impossible to get away from the mirror. So when this started to happen, I held on tight to that feeling of who I was when I was little. So I started to focus on that. I started to focus on bringing back who I was when I was young, before all of this trauma truly hit me in the face. So by then I started doing just a lot of internal work, becoming very self-aware of the patterns and the triggers that would occur. It took a lot of falls. It took a lot of trial and error to truly figure out how I worked, how my eating disorder worked for me, because all of the eating disorders are just as individual as the individual going through it. They're just as specific to the individual. So no eating disorder is like the other. So it's not like we can heal up of a manual book. No, this is a journey that has to be done day in and day out. And it's something that we have to dive deep to truly flourish and learn from ourselves. It's a journey within itself. So there came a point when I was already, let me see, around 25. Yeah, where I had a dream. I had a very, very lucid dream. And it was a horrific dream. I dreamt that I was sexually abused. In my dream, I was little, and this very, like, maybe in his 20s, 30s, this man came in who was very drunk, reeked of alcohol, and essentially pushed me to the floor and started to dose beer all over my body. And that's when the dream basically dove into the attack, and I woke up freaking scared. I was so scared. I had no idea what just happened. And that dream triggered all this trauma to just rise back up again. So that's when I started to realize this thing is so much deeper than what I'm aware of. And when I went to talk to somebody about it, it came to my attention that my eating disorder was actually a manifestation of this trauma that was in slumber for years. The more I dug deeper, it came to my to light that I was sexually abused at the age of three. It is still unknown who my attacker was. It was within our family, maybe family friends. We're not sure. But essentially, it happened back when we lived in Ecuador. This is when I was 3 years old. So it was very, very dark in my life. Yeah, I had no idea that it even happened until that dream at 25 years old. I'm 27 now, so I've been living with this new reality for about 2 years. And obviously, when that came to light, it made so much sense. Everything just came together, all that pain, all that depression, all that anxiety, all that anger that I was living with for basically my entire life, finally had an explanation as to why did this happen to me. And it came down that I was sexually abused. And once I was able to figure that out, the pain that I felt and the hatred that I felt towards my body became humbled. I started to have so much more respect for the strength of my body, for keeping me alive, and for fighting for my life when I wanted to give it up for so many times that I wanted to just give it up. And I'm just so happy that I didn't, because once I figured out that vulnerability is truly the power to our freedom, I cannot stop sharing my story. I've opened up about it in my Instagram, and when I started opening up about my story, you and I got so connected. You know, and like, it's helped me connect with so many people. It's taught me so much about myself. Having this eating disorder has truly made me appreciate the little details of life, because it's in the details that the journey comes to life. It's not at the end result. It's not at the end of the journey. It's throughout the journey that we truly get to experience life. And
I'm
going to
stop you there. I'm
going
to stop you there because I don't want you to tell everything before we get to ask questions. I'm very surprised that at Renfro they didn't, you know, because my son was at VMR Health. I've told you this, which is in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, and is the top in Florida, in all of the South. People go to deal with their drug and mental health, and then they come here sometimes if they have an eating disorder. And I used to go every week or every Wednesday, every other Wednesday. I used to drive up there for family night. And that's how I learned so much about eating disorders. And, you know, they talked about peeling the onion, you know, the layers to get to, because people that have an eating disorder, usually, whether they're binging, they're stuffing food in their mouth to get the pain down, to put the pain down, you know, to stuff the pain down. If they're not eating, it's because they have zero control in their life, and they have no control, and this is all they have control over. That I personally understand. Or they're binging and they're purging, so they're binging to stuff their pain, and then they're angry at themselves, so they're purging it all up. The cutting and eating disorders go so much hand in hand, because so many people that have had eating disorders, like you to your degree, were cutters. My son was one. He almost killed himself. I mean, it's very, very scary. So parents out there, always be on top of your children when you notice a change in their eating. You know, recently I talked to you about something with my youngest child, and we're dealing with that. I'm dealing with that. But, you know, it is genetics, I think, is part of it. And a lot of it is trauma, childhood trauma. So I didn't get a chance to see who this is, but I'm going to bring them on. Hello, welcome. Who's calling? Hello, hello. Maybe you're on mute. don't know. Okay. If you know, if you want to message me and tell me who you are. Okay.
No.
I don't know who that is. Here's Marianne. She
hey.
Is an amazing woman. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Hello? Oh, good,
yeah,
good.
I hear you. You weren't the issue. There was another person. While you talk to Cole, if you have any, do you have any questions?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to let you talk to her for 1 second while I go back to that other person, okay? So I'm going to be
okay,
quiet
sure.
for a second. So you guys.
Okay.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. How are you?
Okay. It was great to hear you talk. You said everything so eloquently. And when you talked about Reiki,
yes.
or Reiki, are you still
yes,
doing yes. that?
I don't, well, technically I don't practice it very much. I usually sometimes do it on my own. But yes, I do it for myself, but not for others recently. No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. And, you know, how do you, I don't know, because I never really had, you know, that problem with binging and purging and things like that. You know, I was a psychiatric nurse, and they really, you know, didn't equip us to help people like going through that.
Mm.
You know, and what would you tell a psychiatric nurse how to help someone like going through all those things you were going through?
I love that question, honestly, because it's such
I'm
a
back.
Tough thing to ask. Each individual it's honestly about just listening into the person that's going through this, because every person needs different types of support. Some people just want to be heard. Some people feel the need to get, you know, they actually are looking for a message or something to be told to. But most people just really want to be heard and understood without judgment. And just making a place where they can express themselves without feeling questioned or misunderstood is honestly such a haven. And as a psychiatric nurse, I'm sure you have that touch where people are able to feel comfortable with you and just open up to you. And having a listening ear, an active listening ear that actually genuinely cares about what's going on inside the, mm-hmm. the head that's going through this stuff is just such a fresh breath of air. So honestly, just giving somebody the space of free mm-hmm. judgment, of just allowing them to express and just understanding and just letting them know that even though you don't understand, that you will be there and that you're supportive and you believe them and that mm-hmm. they're going to get through this, you know, just reassure them that the fight is their choice and they can still keep going. You know, it's just reassurance, really. And validating mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. and how they're feeling.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, I would validate and listen, but, you know, you're just not taught how to, like, respond and help, I don't know, to offer words of wisdom to people, like, going through this. I don't know, what am I trying to say? You know, like...
do you have, like, a yeah. specific example that you've gone through recently that you prefer thinking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, what would you tell a patient, you know, other than, you know, when the nurse is validating and listening, what else, I mean, what could be said that could be really helpful, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I guess it would depend on what they're going through at that very moment. If they perhaps got triggered, or if they're having some body image issues, it's helped me to mm-hmm. to give myself some coping mechanisms. For example, breath work. Breath work is a great way to come back in tune with our bodies and release ongoing thoughts. Like thoughts can be like a train. They just keep going and going and going and going, and it's impossible to stop, especially when we mm-hmm. open the door for these thoughts to just infiltrate our mind. So we have to be very aware of the thoughts that we are allowing to come through and of the thoughts that we are interacting with, and be very picky about what thoughts we allow to impact us and what thoughts we we push out of our way. So that takes time and practice. So if they have a dialogue that can be very negative, maybe perhaps you can start talking to them about switching up their internal dialogue. And perhaps even if they don't believe that they love themselves, even if they don't believe that they're beautiful, it's just about starting the momentum to get them to start saying those things about themselves, because they have so much momentum going towards that negative side that it's going to be impossible, or it feels impossible for them to find that self-love again. So
mm-hmm.
I hate this, but fake it till you make it, in the sense of, like, we got to start saying the opposite of what we believe in ourselves currently. So if I believe I hate myself, I can't continue to feed that belief system. I got to start fighting against it. And that's a choice. And that's where that fight comes in. So you have to start saying, I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And eventually you're going to start creating the split between your eating disorder personality and the personality that you're trying to cultivate and create to fight and heal. Right. So eventually you're going to have these opposing forces. One is going to be the voice of your eating disorder, and the other one's going to be the voice that of you, of this new you that is fighting to heal and recreate themselves. So I think I'm going on a tangent here. Hopefully I'm answering your question one way or another.
Oh, yeah, but that's perfect. No, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, so if you can just perhaps give them a podcast that they can listen to get away from their thoughts or their running triggers, something that they can occupy themselves, that makes them very mindful, maybe knitting or drawing or journaling, just mm-hmm. to get the thoughts out of their head and putting it on paper so it's finally out of their system, and then they're able to just get it away from them. Putting it on paper is one of the biggest tools that I've used. You know, I just write mm-hmm. it all down. I free write. I let all my anger out on that paper. And then I allow myself to step away and allow myself to begin to write loving messages. So, yeah, journaling, breath work, podcasts that are uplifting, books that I can possibly help with, like self-help books that are encouraging and empowering. Things like that, honestly, are very, very helpful.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you so much for answering my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope I really did. Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Marianne
so much,
is an amazing person. She's been through hell, and she wrote a book, and it's, God willing, going to be on the big screen, and she's going to help make tremendous change in this world.
That is incredible.
I'll tell you about it a different time, because this show is yours, not Marianne's. But Marianne is always very... supportive of my podcast, and I've been on hers, and she's allowed me to rant and rave about my anger towards certain things, and she's an amazing mm-hmm. incredible person, and she is survivor, warrior, thriver, whatever you want to say, she is right there. Any other questions, Marianne?
Oh no! I was just very impressed with the answers and the whole dialogue. This has been very interesting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. I hope you stay a little bit with us.
Okay.
I'm going to go to my friend Linda. Hey, you.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
My coach, Cole.
I'm Linda.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Linda. Do you have a question for
me? Linda has to come punch a bag. She has a lot to get out.
Yeah, I got so much... Oh, my gosh. I have so many things, but I've learned how to deal with certain things as so many years went by. I mean, it's still stressful, but, you know, I have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Any questions?
Yeah. That is what
life is
about.
Huh?
Any questions, Linda, for Cole?
Oh, no. So what's... I'm sorry. What's the other girl's name? Well, no, the one that has it.
Marianne.
You had
Marianne. You've heard Marianne before.
Yeah, I heard her. The other one.
Chloe, my guest.
I was wondering.
Also known
as
the killer.
You mentioned, you know, your family's from Ecuador. Were they very critical? Because I know, like, my mom's side of family, you know, they're Spanish, they speak Spanish and stuff. But they were more like, eat, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have anything to see them. Like, a lot of times, they always want you to look the best and only this, but they always push food, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yes, definitely. That's part of the culture, the Hispanic culture. So I'm actually very glad that you brought that up. My so I have a sister who's older than me, and she also had an eating disorder, and she actually had it before myself. I was way younger. We're 6 years apart. And when she had her eating disorder, my parents were all over her, stuffing food into her plate, making sure that she ate all of her meals, the whole nine yards. When it came to my eating disorder, I don't know if it's because we were overwhelmed with the move and we were, you know, new to this home. They weren't as aggressive towards me. Maybe it could also be because of our different personalities. My sister is a little bit more compliant. She's more of the golden child, and I guess you could call me the black sheep. So obviously my character was
so
a little bit harsher.
Right,
yeah.
For the black sheep.
Yeah, so I was definitely a lot harder to deal with back then. So my parents gave me a lot more room, which in a way, looking at it back at it now, was probably in a way the best way for them to handle me, just because the more that they pushed me to do what they wanted me to do, obviously the more I would run the opposite direction. So when they stepped out of the way, it was really literally up to me to heal or not. It's not like they neglected me at all, but I gave them so much shit, literally. I broke my family apart almost with his eating disorder and how much it affected my family, that they just had no idea what else to do. And financially, we just could not afford B or any other form of, you know, help. So it came down to just my choice and my fight.
Yeah. What was going on in your brain that made you not eat? Was it somebody's remarks or, like, you know?
So I actually remember the day specifically. I had come back from home from school, and I got home, and I wouldn't say that I was a big kid. I was I was rather average, but I wasn't developed. So I was a little chubby. I got my little chub. So I wasn't like the curvy, beautiful, voluptuous girl. I had no shape to me. I was a tomboy. And that day, for some reason, I don't remember exactly why, but I just got so triggered. And I was just so unhappy with how I looked. And I think it was at that time I started to, you know, really starting to notice the boys. You know, I started to have crushes, and I was getting curious about relationships. And I think that I felt not good enough. And those feelings of not feeling not good enough and seeing society depict this picture of what perfection is and what is accepted, that was obviously my go-to. Oh, I have to be thin, I have to look like this, and I have to act like this to be noticed and loved and liked and accepted. So being foreign and not knowing the language completely and being super young from everybody, I jumped at wanting to be perfect. And so I decided not to eat. And since I saw my sister do it before me, because we both fell under the category of anorexia, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do what my sister did, and I'm going to stop eating, and I'm going to get super skinny, and everybody's going to love me. So I had justified myself to do that for the need of acceptance and love, because I just could not find that within myself. I was too young and too immature to realize that that's all I needed to do. So yeah, that was around the age of 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the rough between 14, 17, 16 are the roughest ages. I think for girls. And then for boys, I think it's like 12, 17 to 17 or 18. But I know that my, when we start to develop, I was like a skinny, scrawny kid. And then all of a sudden, 12, 13 years old, I developed. And I was always like a little chubby. I mean, you know, short. So, the rough age. You go through all the hormones. I can't even imagine. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just so difficult because it's like you're so limited to what you know that basically you turn to what the TV tells you and what shows are showing you. And, and lately they're just showing how you're supposed to look like. You know, there wasn't much variety as there is now, at least as they're attempting to do now. Back then it was, this is the way that you need to look like, and this is pretty, this is good, this is not. So it's definitely something difficult. And I'm sure that even now, today, we still deal with these issues, you know, it's very, very heavy.
But there's much more knowledge now.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more education, I think, at least in this area, not in all of mental health, but I think in this area, there's a lot more knowledge. I know Marianne was saying when she was a psychiatric nurse, you know, she didn't know how to handle, you know, what she could have said to somebody like that, that went through that. Mm. But again, finding the right place, because I went to so many different places. Renfro, there was no way in hell I don't even think they take boys.
No, I think it's an all women's facility. Yeah.
Right. And I'm an insurance broker. So that's how I started all my advocating, was on LinkedIn. I was tagging my son's insurance company. You got a year. But you were outpatient the whole year, right?
Just about, shorter than a year. It was like for a few months, and then my insurance dropped.
Okay. So I had private good insurance for my son. And, you know, they 30 days and they want you out. It doesn't take 30 days to fix this problem. It takes months. It could take years. I know it took my entire life. And now I didn't have trauma, okay? I don't know what caused me to have, maybe because I had skinny, tall friends, maybe because I was awkward. It was awkward. We moved around a lot. I can't pinpoint what it is that caused. I know my sister will never forgive me for saying this, but my older sister, Teeny, and she always was into, like, look in the mirror, do I look fat, do I look fat? And my sister right above me was the same way. Maybe it was that. I don't know. I don't believe any of them had. Well, I'm not going to say anything because I've had this discussion with one of them and they totally deny it. But, you know, I think my mother was overweight. She's short, you know. I don't know what it was, but I never realized I had an issue. Even when I did purge, and it wasn't for a long period of time or often, it was when I binged, and that wasn't very often. The issues came on much later on, and it also was with exercising. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember having a trauma. You know, again, it could be genetics or something. I have no idea. But anyway, getting back to the facility, I was tagging the insurance company, the CEO, everybody from that insurance company. And I was saying, you need to let me save my child. He needs to stay in this place. And he got 5 months. Now, it wasn't all inpatient, but he got 5 months of really, really good help. I mean, amazing. VMR Health, I love you. Ethan, you know that. I always tag him in these kind of things. They're family owned and they take most insurances. They're an amazing, amazing place. And they really, like, to this day, my son has other stuff because we didn't I didn't keep him in therapy after. I couldn't force him. He was too old for me to force him. Mm. But you can never stop therapy. I mean, in my opinion, okay? Especially when you have other issues also.
Mm-hmm.
The eating part, I think he really fixed because of that facility. He needed to stay in therapy after, and I, you know, whatever. Anyway, it's not about me, not about my kids. Linda, any other questions? I told you I could talk so much.
No. I'm good.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to give out our number again. We had someone that called in again. I don't know who it was. Maybe they just wanted to listen. They didn't want to talk. Guys, feel free to call in and talk or send me a message. Hey, Bailey, it's me. I'm calling in who the number is. Or listen, 516-531-9643, 516-531-9643. We are also right now live on Blog Talk Radio /Friends Talk. I will also be uploading this to SoundCloud, and I will put the link out there. I will send you a copy. Sometimes it's easier to listen in the car on SoundCloud or whatever. But a lot of people from our gym did reach out to me earlier. They were busy, I guess, classes tonight or whatever, or working. So they will be listening to the show. You know how much you love Cole. And the connection that you create with so many of us, you know, you have reached people. You have reached so many people. You know, every time somebody new walks in, you reach them. And not to say she's the only great coach at our gym, Intensity X3. She is one of the great coaches. They're all great coaches. But sometimes you connect with certain people more than others, you know, and there's a reason for it. You have something in common. Mm. We like Latin. We like Latin music, right?
Love that.
Although Damien, if you're listening, has been playing. I've been watching his videos. He's been playing my music, not you.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. He loves it more than me, to be honest.
By the way, Cole is engaged to the sweetest, amazing coach at our gym. How long are you guys dating? Yeah. Or we're together?
You know, we've never actually known the exact date of when we actually started dating, but it's about 3 to 4 years now.
Wow. They're the best couple, and I'll never forget the day he started. Remember my comment? I said, oh, my gosh, he's so cute. Who's the new cute coach? And you're like, my boyfriend. That, you know, at least we were able to laugh about it, right? Like, you could have gotten so nasty and stay away from my guy, you know? Not like, I mean, he looks young, you know, but.
Well, you were both very respectful, my baby.
What?
You are always super respectful.
Yeah, of course. Please, he could be my son. You could be my daughter. Anyway, let's go back to your story. So, where'd you end off?
So basically, I'm at that point where, in the dream, I figured out that I was sexually abused. So that in itself brought even more trauma. So I became to not trust people anymore, you know, especially like my family, since the attack was within the family. I wasn't sure who it was. So my family, my parents, my brother, my sister, we did take a hit, but we became so much stronger on the other side after all this. It's so important, family first, you know, family over trauma, family over everything, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to be there picking you up no matter how much you fuck up. You know, they're just going to be the ones to be there. But essentially, this journey has given me the privilege to connect with so many other people, just opening about what's happened to me has helped me reach out to women of all ages. And it's such a privilege to be in this position. You know, something that I thought was ruining my life actually gave me life. It gave me purpose. It gave me a voice, and it's helped me help people find their voice. And it's just starting. You know, the journey is still going, and I'm sure that every day there's going to be challenges, but we're growing and we're fighting through the roughness and we're fighting to find our light, and we're always stronger together. So I'm honestly so honored to be on this show, Bailey. Thank you so much for basically
anytime.
Asking me forever, but I'm so happy we joined and did this.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, June is PTSD Awareness Month, and we're at the end of June, so I'm so glad I got in the show I got in last week. Whenever you have time, you should listen to it. We had an amazing doctor on. And obviously, you know, you had your triggers were like PTSD for you. You know, there's different ways to say it. So, you know, and I'm sure, like, you know, watching those that building collapse in Miami was literally for me. I mean, you were probably very young, but for me, it was literally watching, like I was watching 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, on a teenier scale, lives being
right.
lost it's all the same, you know. But even if it's on a teenier scale, but it literally every time I rewatch that, I remember where I was, what I was doing, watching it on a teeny TV at a job. I had PTSD, you know, and when you go through trauma in life, any kind of trauma, you're going to have those moments. So it's great that you have those coping mechanisms. But so let's go back to your story. Sorry.
No, yeah, of course. Do you have any questions that you would want to ask me or that you're probably thinking about?
Let me go back. Let's go back to Marianne, because I could talk and ask questions all day. Marianne.
Hello.
Welcome back, Marianne.
Hey.
Anything new?
Oh, I'm just listening. I just think your guest resilience is amazing.
She's amazing.
And she's very uplifting. Like, I just totally commend you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very uplifting, and you bring hope.
Oh, thank you. That's honestly the only thing.
Say that. Talk, Cole. Sorry.
I'm sorry. And that's what you know, that's what people need to hear, that, you know, despite trauma and things that were done to them, they know that there's hope that things will get better.
Yes. Yes, 1,000%. And it starts with us, you know, it starts with that simple, I want to make a change. It starts with being tired and sick of being sick and tired, you know, and just kind of taking the power back by not allowing ourselves to victimize ourselves anymore, because trauma can do that to us. It can take our power away in 1 second, and triggers do that. We can feel super empowered and very confident in 1 second, and then something happened that triggers, and then we immediately lose it, and it's gone. But that's just an illusion. It's just the power is always within our reach, and it's just about making that choice and affirming it to ourselves and just building that courage, because we are the only ones that can take away our power, and we're the only ones that can get it back. And until we really practice that, and until we really believe that, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be about falls, and it's going to be about the battle, but that's just the start. It's just about taking that plunge and building that trust with yourself. And the only way to build that trust is by taking the hits and just getting right back up every time you fall. Just remember to always get back up. Eventually that light is going to come through, and those days that seem dark and heavy won't be as heavy anymore, and you'll see yourself running before you know it. But it's just about wanting it. Wanting it is the biggest
mm-hmm.
thing.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, picking yourself up when the days are long and hard days, and just even cheering someone else up will help
cheer yourself up.
Yeah.
And you must know that a lot. Helping others gives us so much purpose. You know, helping others helps us help ourselves, because we're being of service. You know, we're being a community. We see that we are valuable because we're able to uplift another. And that in itself is such a gift to be able to do, you know, to uplift someone. And you must know more than anyone.
Oh, well, I'm still learning as I go.
You're incredible, Marianne. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt earlier. I loved how she used the word hope. You give people hope, because it's so, so true. It really is. Especially people that have experienced the kind of trauma you have, and majority of the people that I have come close to through my advocating have been through child sexual abuse, have been triggered later on. A lot of them didn't remember it. And this is not Marianne's case, right, Marianne? You didn't have any of that. Okay, she has a whole other stuff similar to me, but a whole other stuff. But, you know, a lot of people definitely will, our listeners out there definitely will be able to relate to this, to your story. And, you know, go on, Marianne, anything else? All
right. I was just going to ask, do you meditate a lot every day or not?
I love that question. I do. I love doing, I would call it having mindful moments where mm-hmm. I take the time to just pause whatever it is that I'm doing and literally just sit down and zero in on my breath and just tune into what it is that's going on in my thoughts, what it is that my body is experiencing, where my stress levels are at, and just really just tuning in and grounding myself. And that could be whenever I need it. Sometimes it's first thing in the morning. Sometimes I wake up with such heaviness and sadness within me that I didn't even know where it came from. But taking that time to reassure myself and my body that I am safe and that I am okay is so important. And it truly just shapes my day. You know, I could easily just mm-hmm. take the sadness with me all day and, you know, just be shut down from the world and stay in my mind. But taking that time of one-on-one with myself just to reassure myself and basically parent myself, right? After we leave our parents' home, we're really in our own hands. And I like to believe that I am my own child. You know, I like to treat myself as my own child. So if I'm struggling with something, I like to check in. I like to see what it is that's triggering me, what happened throughout the day that got me to feel this way. So, yes, I do take some time to do some mindful journaling or mindful thinking, or sometimes I do mindful eating, in which I'm interacting with the food that I'm eating so I can build a relationship with my food. So it's just about having mindful moments. If you're not like into the whole crisscross applesauce breathwork meditation that we usually see, there's different ways to meditate, and it's just about bringing mindfulness and presence to our moment.
Yeah.
Do you have any videos out there, YouTube videos out there on meditating, Cole?
I have not posted anything specifically, honestly. No, I think I posted some breathwork stuff, but not meditation itself.
Okay, maybe you can send me a link I could forward to.
Yeah, definitely. I think I have something in my Instagram, so I can share that with you, baby.
Okay, or you can tag Marianne. Well, you could share it with me, and I'll send it to her.
Yes, please. I would love to get connected.
Yeah, she's amazing. Anything else?
Thank you. I can't think of anything.
Okay.
It's been wonderful hearing from you and talking about this issue, because even Princess Diana had this problem as well.
Mm. Yeah, she did.
Mm. That's something I actually did not know.
she had
bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Bailey? I think it was just bulimia.
Yeah.
And,
right.
But she was under a lot of stress, too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, she had a rocky childhood from what I understand. But, so there's a lot of people out there that have this, and sometimes you don't even know they have it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what people are suffering through until they start educating us.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I love how you put that. I love how you place that. Because as I said earlier, like, eating disorders are just as individual as the person going through it. So it's not like it can be treated just like it was for one person to the next. It's really that individual learning about their own eating disorder, why it started, why it happened, you know, what triggers them, what gets it going. Perhaps it was something within the family, maybe a trauma, maybe something that made them feel like they were just not good enough. You know, eating disorder is not our enemy. That's the biggest thing that I learned, is that we demonize eating disorders, and it's not correct. I personally believe that eating disorders are a defense mechanism from overwhelming situations that we cannot handle or know how to cope with, and or even know how to understand, you know, like, for example, being sexually abused at the age of 3 and not knowing it even happened.
Horrible.
You know, exactly. Like, these things, that's why it's so important to connect with our loved ones that are going through these things, because God knows what it could have triggered it or could have developed it or where it came from. There's always a deeper story with a person with an eating disorder and any form of mental trauma, in my opinion.
Mhm. Oh, yes. And you say it so well. So I totally appreciate you educating me.
Oh my goodness, it's an honor to even be able to educate someone at your level, a psychiatric nurse.
Well, still, I mean, you know, when you go in there to be a psychiatric nurse, they don't teach you all these diagnoses even all at once. It's kind of like you learn as you go.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't know.
That must be ridiculously overwhelming.
Yeah. And they should be teaching these nurses about this, a lot of this stuff, sooner rather than later.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But who's to say that now you can't take it upon yourself to teach the other nurses, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm no longer a nurse. I'm retired at this point, but...
Oh, beautiful. Good for you.
Yeah. Oh.
But I don't think it's because she wants to be. Would you like to be working still, Marianne?
Well, I don't know if I can, because I've had that heart attack, and I just don't think I can.
Mm. Oh. Mm. I didn't even know that, by the way.
Oh.
Maybe I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't remember. We've talked about so many things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure your life went a different way, but look, our lives, things... Bad things happen to good people for a reason, you know. And,
right.
You know, heal. Sharing our stories. So unfortunately, there are many people that don't get past the point where they can start their healing. Unfortunately, you know, and it's
mm-hmm.
sad that they're so sick they can't move forward. But you know, if we do. Then we have to say to ourselves, this is how I justified this. I went through was it happened for a reason, and I'm going to go out there and help others. That was how I managed to. And look, you know, still working on my book, but it's a slow process. But, you know, I'm doing the show every single week. And, you know, sometimes I'm scrambling last minute. Well, usually I've been pretty lucky. Marianne throws guests my way. So, but her guests have been so amazing. The people that she knows have been so willing and wanting to do the same, share what they're doing, you know, helping others in whatever ways they're helping others. And not all of them have had trauma, or some of them are just people out there, you know, professionals doing amazing things. Mm. And so, you know, it's been a very healing process. And again, I so understand when you say, you know, that there are days when you wake up and there's this heaviness and then it all comes piling back on, mm-hmm. you know. I try, especially yeah. since I had this latest, I went through that last year with the two car accidents, but this year when I finally reached my goal and I was doing, I think I was taking every one of your class besides the small group training, you know, I was, because I know that, you know, Cole used to tell me, Bailey, you need to take a break. You need to take a break. Take a day off. For me, it's mental. It's my outlet. It's also being around a group of people who you care about, who cares about you, and you share so much in so many different ways. And again, I'm alone a lot. So, you know, even now I go to the gym to do my physical therapy and whatever I can just to be around people because I'm alone so much. So, and you know, I'm going to shut up. Marianne, I'm going to put you on hold. I hope you stay with us a little longer.
Okay.
Bailey, if I may say something, actually,
yeah,
you're bringing that up because, yes, it's so important to, you know, build that community and that support system and be around people that inspire and uplift us. But at the same time, it's also important to have that not isolation, but seclusion, where we get to just connect with ourselves and really dig deep and put all of our attention and energy towards our healing. Because sometimes being around people and being so active and exercise, it can become very distracting from the healing work that we still need to do. And then we get used to those distractions. And then now we find ourselves running from all this trauma that is literally right behind us because we keep distracting ourselves. So then these triggers continue to pile up until we have this breakdown, right? And then we feel like we hit the floor to ground zero. And then we feel like we have to pick up all these pieces. And honestly, that's a pattern that can be that happens to all of us. We all go through this pattern, and the pattern lessens and lessens little by little, the more aware we become of ourselves and how we choose to distract ourselves. So I love that you brought that up, Ailey, because sometimes we don't even realize we're distracting ourselves, you know, and it takes that hit to make us realize that, oh shit, I've been, you know, missing out on some healing work that I need to be doing.
Right. And, you know, I'm always going to be on a healing, on some sort of journey, because when you go through trauma in your life, you're always on a journey, whatever the journey is. You know, Marianne's journey, her journey, your journey, you know, Linda's journey. We all have a different journey. My story started 6 years ago. You know, of course I'm not fully healed. We're never fully healed. And yes, there was a period in my life, probably about 6 years ago when I was running like a maniac, and also I became very, very, very thin, and I used to associate thin and happy, and thank God I got healthy from that, and that was a lot of therapy, group therapy and personal therapy, which I still have my personal therapist for 6 years. So when I fall into that hole, down that rabbit hole, I have her. She's my lifesaver, you know, and she tells me like how you'll say it to me. She says it even more so because she knows me from way beginning. So,
right,
you know, I'm isolated so much. I spend all
Friday night, all Saturday by myself. You know, so I'm always in my head. Too much.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
maybe sometimes I go over my limit with my working out. And I've learned to say, okay, today you need a day off. Well, when I'm healthy, in a healthy place, when my body's in a healthy place. You know, I've learned. It's taken a long time. Just like the whole eating thing, I finally learned you have to force yourself to eat 3 times a day and not one meal at night. And that the challenge really helped me with that. So anyway, let me bring Linda back on quickly. And then while you guys are talking, there's someone that keeps calling. I don't know who it is. I'm going to check them out. Linda, any questions?
No, I'm just listening. It's interesting, these stories. Everybody helps each other. Your stories heal other people, and, you know, it's interesting.
It is. Stronger than that.
Mariana, right?
No. Our guest tonight is Cole, Coach Cole.
No. Okay,
Marianne was a guest. Marianne was a guest before on the show.
What's the book? You said you had a book you wrote?
No. Marianne is wrote a book.
Right,
Cole is our guest.
What? No, I know. What's the book, the name of the book?
Well, I'll tell you about it after. Right now it's cold. It's cold. Cold time.
Yeah.
So, did you have any other questions or anything else?
No.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. 2 people that called in, and I'm just going to wing it and see who they are. Hello? Who's calling? Hello? Hello? Welcome. Hello? Another bad connection? I don't know. Welcome to the Never Give Up show. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Darlene.
Hey, Darlene. How you doing? We haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, I'm
welcome.
Here.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. I miss that voice.
Well, you'll be hearing me tomorrow night. I'm doing my talk here tomorrow night. So.
Okay. Well, I will do my very best to get on and listen. And if not, I will listen after.
That sounds good to me.
Is it your first show?
Yes, it will be.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to have to definitely make time to at least try and call in. Any questions?
Yes,
have you been listening? Any questions Coach?
I read a little bit on Facebook that you had posted. And I want you to know, I want him to know that it takes a lot of courage.
Cole is
she?
A she. Yeah.
Cole?
Yeah. Cole, say hi.
Okay. Okay, I know Cole's my guys, I'm sorry.
No worries, please, totally. My real name's actually Nicole, but there's just so many Nicole that, you know, my clients are Nicole, so I might as well just be Cole.
Your name is Nicole?
Okay. Yeah, that's my full name.
Oh, my God.
Don't spread it around,
Nicole.
Baby. Don't be calling people.
They're all listening.
Well, hello
I'll
there. You prefer to be Nicole, though, right?
I'll start calling you
yeah,
Nikki.
Oh, God, please
Nikki,
don't.
Nikki Jam.
No, please don't. I got a Nikki in the family. There'll be too many Nikkis out here.
Darlene is Darlene and I know each other for a good few years. I was on a different plat for a while, and she used to call in all the time. And then she started doing some of her own stuff and wrote a book, and she has her own story.
Amazing.
I think she I think she could relate to you also probably in some stuff you've been through. And she used to call in all the time, and then she got busy. So it's nice to hear her voice.
Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear more about what you're enduring. Like whenever I was pregnant with my son, though, you know, I had some problems with eating, you know. I would eat a nickel bar a day, and that's all I would have.
Really?
I could not, you know, like it hurt my stomach or whatever. But that was after a guy had kicked my pregnant belly, and my husband didn't do nothing about it. He just said, "Oh, you shouldn't have touched him with your hairbrush." That's another story, but that's another story. We ain't get to go into that. But yes, I had some food issues, and then I became anorexic several times because of the food. But now I'm overweight.
Well,
that's okay. Our body goes through phases.
Work out with me, Darlene.
Darlene doesn't live anywhere nearby, but she, you know, walking, you know, that's been my thing lately.
Well, I tried to walk the other day, and I even tried to call the police about there was a dog that tried to attack me when I went on a walk. Mm-hmm. And my phone wouldn't do no service, and then a couple of days after, you know, afterwards I called the police, and they still didn't ever come to make a report. So I'm like,
well, that's
so I'm afraid to go.
I wouldn't let that dog get in your way, though, Darlene. I would still get food walks in there and at least start.
Well, that dog's already tried to attack a kid and tried to attack an old lady that's trying to attack me.
That is horrible.
Then, it's interrupted me, okay?
Have you ever thought about working out through, like, YouTube videos, maybe getting some movement in at home, indoors, away from the dogs, you know?
Yeah, one thing I miss is putting on the music and doing line dancing, because that used to be my forte on losing weight, is the line dancing, you know?
Nobody's stopping you. You could do that in your ask Cole in the gym. When I can't do something, or even when I can, when my body's healthy, I'm always dancing.
All right. Love it.
Yeah, but how young are you now? How young are you, baby?
Well, I could be Cole's mom.
That is, she could be my mom. But honestly, it's not even about age or fitness level. It's just about that connection, that celebration of your body, because it's yours. You know, your body deserves to move. It was designed to move. And just respecting it and loving it and caring for it and doing it with those intentions instead of the, I have to do this because, .. It's more of a celebration of our life and the fact that we can move and have a body to move with. So many people don't have that privilege, you know, and that's something that we need to put into perspective when we begin to attack ourselves or we begin to belittle our body because it doesn't look like X or because it looks like this or whatever. At the end of the day, our body is in the care of our hands, and allowing ourselves to build that respect for it is something that's so important. Sometimes we become our own bully. You know, we are the bully that we need to stop. And that's the most important bully to stop, because it's you. So that's something that you can start doing, my love, is seeing your dancing at home as a celebration of your life and the fact that you have a body.
Yeah, I used to go to the clubs and do that and just dance, and people would tell the bartender they want what I'm drinking, and they said, "Well, she ain't drinking nothing but a Sprite."
That is complete blissful happiness right there, without needing anything to alter it.
Love exactly. It. So I know where you're coming from.
There we go. You're the vibe, Mama. You're the vibe.
Sometimes when I'm walking and I'm listening to one of my songs, I start to dance while I'm walking.
Yes.
And I have to be careful because I walk at night and my knee is messed up. I just can't control myself. It's like I'm the bobblehead, the dancing bobblehead.
Oh,
let it say, girl, let it loose.
And my kids hate my music. My son is a rapper, and he hates my music. And when I have it blasting in the house when I'm cleaning, I'm like, well, now you see what it feels like when you're doing your rap or you watching a game and you're screaming at the TV. This is my time.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Darlene, any other questions, or can I put you on hold?
Yeah, you put me on hold. I'll be eager to hear what else she has to say.
Okay, great. To, you know, how you got into the whole, we have about 38 minutes left. So let's go, you know, we talked about your, you know, what happened to you, you know, your whole eating disorder and, you know, how you're, okay, let me ask you a question. Once your family got educated, how was your interaction with them?
When they became educated about my eating disorder, or when we all learned that I was sexually abused?
Well, so, I'm sure it went together. They got educated about what happened to you and what triggered the eating disorder. I think more or less goes hand in hand in the education part. But were they understanding? Were they, you know, did they get involved in your healing process? You know?
Yes. Okay, I love that question. So at the beginning, when I first was diagnosed, they were a lot more involved in the sense of, like, you know, they were trying to find me therapists, and they were trying to find me a place to put me in, like Renfrew. At that time, I was like 15, 16. So back then, I was more in denial about what was going on with me. So we were just kind of like trial and error, but they were very, very supportive. Basically, they would try to read books on their own time. I didn't really take the time to educate myself about my own illness, to be honest. I was kind of just experiencing it and sinking into it while they would read books about it. They tried their best not to hover over me, because they noticed the more they hovered, the more I pushed. And I was a very aggressive person when it came to my triggers. Like, I was very aggressive when I became triggered. I would scream, I would yell, I would throw things, I would break things, I would break walls. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I was just a monster. Mm-hmm. So they learned to kind of cope with themselves away from me. So that's when I started to create this isolation within my own home, mm-hmm. to the point where my parents didn't know how to help me. They didn't know what to do. If they helped me, it made it worse. If they didn't help me, it made it worse. So they were just so lost that, to a point, it was just like, well, we're just going to provide food for her. We're going to provide shelter for her. And, you know, as long as we keep her safe and she's well, we're going to do our best to just kind of like ride this out with her. So they really allowed me to take full control over how my life went, in the sense of, like, was I going to continue to recover and fight for my life? I mean, I'm more than 100% sure, obviously, if it came to the point that I needed to be hospitalized, they would have taken those measures. But fortunately, I was able to slap myself out of it and fight against myself to be able to heal my body, because it was really about recovering my body before my mind. So then it was about playing catch up. Once my body gained all this weight, my eating disorder was still existent. So that's when it became even tougher. Because people think that your eating disorder is your body. It's a physical thing, but it's not. Your body, the way that it looks, is a manifestation of the disease that the eating disorder mm-hmm. is. So whether you gain all this weight due to, you know, the bulimia and the binge eating, or you lose all this weight because of the deprivation and the restriction, it all comes down to the mental disease. It has absolutely nothing to do with the body. We blame it on the body, which is different. but we're not tackling the real issue. It begins in the mind. So once my body was able to gain all the weight and I got my period back, it was even a tougher battle because I felt like I didn't have that support anymore. I felt like my parents didn't see me as being sick anymore, and they just saw me as difficult. So that became even more confusing because I felt ill, but my body wasn't ill anymore. So learning to dig deeper within myself and become more self-aware about the things that cause me damage and the things that pain me in my mind, that was honestly the real journey. You know, healing the body is one step, but the real journey begins when you dig deep within your mind to figure out the root cause of why it is that you're causing so much self-harm to yourself. You know, again, it could be trauma. It could be passed down from family. You learned it from a friend. Maybe your friend got you into it, because eating disorders in a way became a trend. You know, it became something mm-hmm. that just teenagers do, and it's a phase. And no, it's not a phase. It's not.
The mental illness.
Yes, right. It's something. You know, whether it came from trauma or not, like you said before, it's either because you're trying to cope with feelings or you're trying to cope from losing control. It came from somewhere. So the biggest message is really trying to dig deep and figure out why it even began. What triggered it? Where did it come from? Because it's not your body. It's your mind.
Right. Well, everything comes from our mind, right?
Yeah.
Our mind is what tells us our perception. Right. 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 So you were with your boyfriend or fiance at the time of when you remembered what happened.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my God, I was with Damien. Yeah. So when I remembered, I was sexually abused. I was actually staying over at my fiance, my now fiance. Back then, we were just boyfriend and girlfriend, and we had just freshly started dating. And I just started getting all of these memories, and he was extremely supportive. Mind you, we had only known each other as friends for a year and coworkers, because we used to work at a gym together before we started dating. So the fact that this man was so open-minded and didn't run away from my craziness, it was just, he was.
You're very lucky, by the way. You are very lucky and blessed.
Yeah, I would call myself blessed. Damien brought me closer to God. He helped me develop that relationship with God. And honestly, that right there, that connection with God and Jesus, I'm not religious at all, Bailey, by any means.
Right.
But that connection
the
with
the higher power, whatever it is.
The
yep.
higher power, call it what you will, that is what took my healing to the next level. That is the piece that I was missing to truly just build my faith and get out of that hole and fight for that light. Because I was no longer doing it alone. I mean, I never was. The higher power is always there, you know. It's just about letting it in and letting it become part of your journey and living with faith and living with hope and strength, instead of constantly focusing on fuck my life and F this and screw me and why me, you know, putting yourself in that victimized position just takes your power away, and you're doing that by yourself. It sucks, and it's the hardest pill to swallow. But once we realize and take full responsibility of where we are now in our lives regarding our health, our financial stability, our job, our relationships, that's when we truly begin to recover and heal, because now we've taken back our power. It's no longer in the hands of our therapist or this facility that we're going to. It's now in our hands. It is now our choice.
Right.
You know, and of course you can build that support and have this therapist, but you're no longer having them be the hero of your story. You're now becoming your own hero of your own story.
Wow. So, you know, I see the videos and the pictures that he posts on Instagram, wherever. He comes from a very healthy family. It just seems that way. I'm assuming that's how it is.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes,
pretty,
it is. They
as healthy as you possibly. So that makes, that is, you know, I'm jealous because, you know, most guys and his age and older don't come from health. I shouldn't say just guys. it goes both ways, but I'm in the single world looking for guys, you know, wanting to have a man in my life, a companion. And unfortunately, there's so much unhealthiness, and it's child trauma, bad parenting, whatever it is. So he's blessed, and you're blessed to have had his support, because he was healthy. If he was not healthy, he would have thrown you out that door. But you can see that they accepted you as a daughter, and support, my point was, having a support system. You know, for me, it was in the beginning, I always had my family. Thank God. They were there for me. They went through my everything with me. I mean, it caused my parents to age tremendously. But group therapy was my savior. Mm. It was also very tremendously helpful for my son and for his healing, for me to be allowed to go to family night. And so, you know, support system is huge. So you are so very lucky that you found a great guy that was able to be there for you. And did your parents learn with you? Like I learned, like I keep saying how I learned all these things with my son. Did your family like open up and start learning more about all of this once you realized what happened, like where it all stemmed from?
So with my story and my family, it became a very delicate situation because, as I mentioned earlier, I have my older sister who's
right.
6 years. We're 6 years apart. And her and I both were attacked on the same night by
oh
the same
God.
Person. So essentially, because we used to share rooms. So she remembers way more than I do because at the time she was about 9 years old. So she has more memories. But she chose to keep those memories shut. She did not want to talk about them. She never wanted to open up about them. So her eating disorder was also a manifestation of her trauma. However, she was always aware of her trauma. That was the biggest difference between my sister and I. I was never aware of the trauma that I had gone through. So her knowing that trauma beforehand, going through years with it, trying to forget it and leave it behind, and then me coming out of nowhere and exposing it, it caused a big dent in my family. It really, she was so overwhelmed with the information that was hitting her face coming through my mouth that I guess it just brought it all back. And she was so upset. She got upset with me because she didn't know how to control it or how to deal with it, that she became to push me away. And her pushing me away began to push, you know, everybody else away. So not that my parents didn't believe me, they did, but there was so much friction going on in the home that it was necessary for us to kind of take different paths. So I kind of took it upon myself in a sense to kind of leave the house. And that's when I was very blessed and God's timing that Damien's family was happy to open their doors for me and take me in as their own. So it was all literally divine timing.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, let's go through our callers again. Figure out who this person is. I don't know if they're going to talk.
We shall see.
Hello, welcome. 561 number. Would you like to talk? Are we just listening? Okay. I wonder if you know who this is. I'm going to bring Marianne had to go. So I'm going to give out a number again. We have 25 minutes left. 516-531-9643. 516-531-9643. We still have about 25 minutes left to the show. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to bring Linda back on. Linda, you're back on.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say now. I was like listening.
You're supposed to write
you
notes.
You want to say something? I know. I don't know. I wanted to say something, but I don't remember.
They put you on hold, and you.
You know, it's interesting how sometimes, you know, as we get older, sometimes things come back. Like we start to remember and put things together, you know, makes us, I guess, more experienced of things that we go through and stuff. Like, you know, I have a big problem with my family. I don't have a good support system. And everything that I went through is very, very, very depressing. But, I know, like, inside I'm strong. And by me talking to supportive people, I know from experience of, you know, me listening to other people's stories, you know, it, you know, kind of heals me and vice versa, them listening to me. And I find that people, a lot of times people are very selfish in today's world. Like, they don't understand until they go through something themselves, you know? I just, you know, I have a big, big problem with my sister. So I'm also like 6 years apart from her, 5 and a half. And it's sad, but it's funny because something, I don't know what it is, but I just actually learned something from, I used to live in Nashville, and I was in contact with one of my old neighbors. He's a year younger than me. And we got in contact maybe, I want to say, first I was talking to his mother. She had wrote me a letter when, you know, she thought I still lived in Brooklyn, and she wrote me a letter. Anyway, so I've been in contact with them for at least 7 years now. He told, this guy is super, super duper intelligent. He has a brain, a memory that goes back to like 3 years old that I don't even have. But he told me something when we were talking. He tries to help me. He told me something that like literally blew my mind about my sister, which I would never, ever repeat this to my own family. And I started to think about it, and I started to say, I don't know, maybe that's some, I don't know, like, just so mind-boggling that I was in shock, you know? Anyway, I personally would not share that with my family, never, because I keep it to myself only because I know what kind of
your battles, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, keep it to yourself, because then if I say something, oh, you're crazy, oh, they're crazy, oh, how could you, you know? But I definitely believe him because, you know, he's a stand-up person, but it started to make me think, like, maybe this is the reason why she, I don't know. I really don't know, but it's so mind-boggling that it's crazy, you know?
It makes you question it. I totally understand it, and I get exactly what you mean. One of the biggest things that helped me cope with the separation and like the tension within my family, and specifically my sister, is just putting myself in their shoes and just understanding, okay, so I'm going through trauma, and obviously they're going through trauma. So I have to understand that if they're not ready to talk to me or open up to me, or you know, let's have a sit and visit back the past. If they're just not ready for that, then I have to be super understanding. And now it's my turn to be the supportive one and give the space of, you know, you're safe here and we don't have to talk about it and it's okay. And I respect you and I see you and I understand you. And I'm going to take it upon myself to forgive because it's in our power, and forgiving others heals us as well. So perhaps maybe you won't have that conversation, and maybe you will allow yourself to make that healing space and just continue sending your sister light when you picture her, even in your head, just send her light and love, and just begin to see her in that light again. And yes, it happened, but the love that you have for your sister and our families, you know, it's always going to be there. And yes, the relationship may have changed and it's now different than when it was, and we wish it was this way, but just coming from a place of, I see you and I understand you and I know that you're going through some things, so I'm just going to forgive and allow myself to let go, because that's the best for both of us, you know, until maybe she's ready to approach with that. So that's the tactic that I've used.
Yeah, but the thing is, is that she keeps doing, she's the same person. Nothing changes. Like, meaning you have to cut the umbilical cord. I mean, how many times, it's like, how many times are you going to be evil?
Some people are toxic. Some people are toxic in life. Sometimes there are people that are toxic. You can't change them. And if they're not bringing good into your life, they're not bringing good vibes to your life, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's better to just take 10 steps back, because they're not well, and you know, some people don't recognize when they have mental illness or they have issues or they have problems. It takes a lot of, Cole, I'm listening to you and I'm in awe that it's only been 2 years that you really figured out where this was all coming from. It might have started when you were young, really young, but it's only been 2 years. For me, my trauma has been, well, obviously it was throughout my marriage, but, you know, the real horrible stuff has only been 6 years. And I feel like you surpassed me. Not that it's a game or anything. But you've come, like, maybe you're younger and you don't have kids that you have to watch their pain. Whatever it is, your resilience and strength. And you have a great guy there by your side, which also is very helpful. Mm-hmm. And I have my family, yes. They're on a phone call, you know. It makes a very big difference. I understand what Linda's saying. So, you know, I've cut a lot of people that I thought were my friends, that were my support system. They're gone from my life. Toxic is toxic, you know. Yeah. You don't want to have people in your life, and they say, doctors will say, or therapists will say, family, no family, whatever, you know, distance yourself. So, you know, that's a decision you have to make for yourself. If you don't see that anything good is ever, they're going to ever see themselves for who they are, and you're always, they're like gaslighting you, you know, you're the issue, not them.
Exactly.
How is that helping you grow? I think you're constantly, Linda, you're constantly being pulled back. I'm going to put you on hold, if you don't mind. I'm going to bring Darlene on. I'm going to send you a messenger, if you can peek at it, and just tell me if you know this number, okay? While Darlene, what's better? I think I'm going to send you a messenger, yeah? You can look at it while we're talking?
Yeah.
Okay. And bring Darlene on.
Hello.
Hi, Darlene. Welcome back.
Thank you. It is very courageous of you getting your story out. You just now found out about it and been dealing with it for about 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. When I first started, I think the first couple of years were some of the worst. Because that's when, you know, I couldn't lay in bed, I couldn't lay still, the nightmares were just coming at me, you know, being thrust at me like daggers, and would not stop, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I laid down to put my head down, then all of a sudden I had to jump right back up.
Yeah. I got you on that one. It's definitely something that if we could choose, we would live without, but I find that truly what life is about is conquering those challenges, and that those challenges is what shapes us, and it's what gives us the lessons to continue to share to other people. You know, at the end of the day, we're a human race, and we're stronger together, and we're meant to learn from one another, regardless of age or social status. We're all teachers and students. And we're constantly giving and taking. You know, it's energy. It's a give and take. So those things, those dreams, those
those moments where you wish you just weren't alive anymore. It's just honestly to me a test of how much we believe in our faith. You know, it's how much we can fight for that light, no matter how much darkness or how dark the darkness becomes. Like, how much light can we create from nothing? And finding that mentality is what I feel helped make my fight so strong. It's just challenging the thoughts of the darkness and putting myself in the position of, no, today I'm gonna fight for my light, no matter what that looks like, even if it's fake it till I make it. And it really is just literally like pulling yourself out of the mud when you're in those, when that darkness, you got to drag yourself out of there some days. Sometimes it takes minutes, sometimes it takes hours, sometimes it could go for weeks. But it's really just about wanting to always get back up. And I wish I could take away the pain that you went through and make it all better, and maybe even make you forget that it even happened. But at the end of the day, it's what created you and who you are, and then the strength that you've built, it comes from that pain and trauma. So I've allowed it to become part of me in a sense.
I'm glad that I do have the memories, because I'm staying away from the toxic people. Because if I didn't have any memory of it, I keep going around there and it just keep happening, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't get it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm so sorry.
I was like, whenever I talked to my sister, she said, my brother said I need to look at my dad and my mom as a hero and everything. He said, look, they went through, mom went through Hitler and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, still, you got a choice. You don't just go and sell your kids. You don't just go and hit your kids. You don't even, you seem like you would want to protect them more. Do you know what I'm saying? But you wouldn't just go out there and harm them like you do, you know? That's no excuse for abuse, you know?
Of course. Of course. And
it's an excuse. And my sister Mary, she's I call her Gwen in my book, and she's a church guide preacher. And she says that the things that happened to me was God's punishment to me for me being a bad girl. I said, even the sex abuse at age two? And she said, yes, even the sex abuse at age two. And I said, then I never wanted to talk to her again, okay?
Right, 100%. You made the right decision. Some people are just not meant to be part of our journey, and they're just meant to hurt you because they're going to push you to become stronger. That's what your sister did. She pushed you to become stronger, because for someone that you love so much to say something so evil and vile, right? It's such
a stab. I can't say I love her. I can't rarely ever say that I love her. That's what's so bad.
I know.
I care about her as a person, but that's it.
Yeah. And that's your heart shining through. Not to say that she doesn't care about you. People express how they care about others in many different ways and in their own individual ways. And we don't understand that because we're not them. You, what you have is your heart. And that's something to be proud of. And that's something to truly just hone on in. And don't be even ashamed of it, or don't try to push away the fact that you love your sister. It's something that you should be very proud of yourself for, the fact that you have such a big heart, such a compassionate heart, that you're still able to love someone that hurt us. You know, that I believe is the true teaching of God, is being able to love others unconditionally.
Yeah, some people had asked me, how could I forgive? I said, well, it's easy to forgive. I said, the thing is, it's not easy to forget, and I don't want to forget because I don't want to be around them, you know?
Correct. And you don't have to forget. That's something that I wouldn't forget either. You know, take as much distance and time as you need. I know I did when my sister didn't want to, you know, support me with the fact that I had discovered this thing that happened to us. She wanted not to talk about it. She wanted to say, in fact, she said, you stirred the dirt, you know, that was already settled. And that made me feel horrible. So I can't imagine her saying what she said to you, how it feel.
And that just shows how much stronger you are. The fact that you took the power and said, you know what, you're not good for me. You're not part of my support system. So bye-bye, get out. That was such a powerful move to do, you know, because it's so difficult to let go of family. It's so difficult to not be with them. And the fact that you chose yourself over them, that is volumes of self-love. That means that you love yourself and you will fight for yourself no matter who it is. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're not going to let, that's why we don't want to try to do suicide, you all, because we don't want the perpetrators to win.
Darlene, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold.
Because that will be final silence of us, you know, not to have a voice.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to have your.
But look, you have a great support system, Darlene, and you are resilient, and you wrote a book, and you kept going, and you've overcome so much obstacles in your life, and you're doing your own show now. You're going to be doing your own show starting this week, you know, so look at the positive. You know, last week we had a doctor on the show, a psychiatrist. And if you have time, check it out. It was an amazing show. This guy had so many degrees from Chicago, New York. He started off in cardiovascular, and he ended up being a psychiatrist. And I think it was a road to get to where he wanted to, because somehow it's connected, whatever. And he's, you know, one of the things he told me, because he gave me some time after the show, because one of my kids has horrific anxiety and I've tried everything. And he said, whenever he talks negative, like, you know, he'll make me promise that he's going to be okay. Okay. He goes, turn his negativity into a positive thought. He should self-talk to himself and switch it to positive, you know? So, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to turn our thoughts from a negative to a positive. We just got another caller, Darlene. Do you mind if I put you on hold? We have about 7 minutes
left.
Can I say something real quick?
I want to say, you know, whatever, something that you can do to the effect of the positive is like, don't bring out the negative action he's doing, but say, hey, look how well you drew that, or look how well you cleaned that up, or wow, you know?
Right. And he should also think about his goals, his future, what he wants to do and how he's going to get there. That was another thing. But I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to just bring our other, because I'd like Cole to close out soon. Hello, welcome.
Hi, Bailey. It's Kelly.
Hey,
Kelly from
Maine. I know.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? I hope you've been listening.
I've been listening to your show, so I think it's great. I have some questions for Cole if you have time.
Yeah.
We
have a few minutes. Kelly's amazing.
Yeah.
I've met all these people literally from my advocating and
have you really
from groups on Facebook, yeah. And from doing my shows. They've heard my shows.
Oh, it's
Kelly's amazing.
It's amazing. I just think it's awesome. We gotta talk sometime offline too, by the way. Get some catch up.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Talk away.
Yeah. So I was okay. Cole.
Yes.
I think her name is Cole. Cole Killa, right?
Yeah.
I remember Killa.
Yeah.
Coach Cole. Hi. I'll be real quick. I've been listening to your show and just want to say that you're an inspiration. I do some advocacy work for domestic violence, but I'm also, you know, a survivor of domestic violence. But what I found lately is while I help others, I seem to lose myself and forget to put time out for myself. And I've been finding myself almost like comfort food, eating comfort food and putting weight on. And I don't know if I need to take a step back or like what your recommendation of, you know, on a daily basis of to spend time for myself. I don't know. I'll stop talking.
No, Kelly, I actually love that you brought this up because I find myself going through this a lot more than I want to admit, honestly. So when you're a very, like, when you're in the healing industry, let's say, whether you're a personal trainer, a therapist, a doctor, a nurse, or someone that cares for other people and has that service for others, it can become very heavy because you're constantly providing support and care for others. And since we're constant, we're always with ourselves, right? So we think we're taking care of ourselves, but we, like a child, need attention. That's why I like to refer myself as my own child. So when you find yourself, and you seem to be very self-aware because you're seeing that you're going through these motions that are starting to not feel so good, like, you know, emotional eating or, you know, kind of like distracting ourselves with food or trying to make ourselves feel better or comforted with food. That's just a sign that we need our own attention. So you're right on the money. You definitely do want to take a bit of a step back, but because you do have, you know, the work that you're doing, I would be sharing this part of my journey. Obviously that is if you're comfortable with your listeners knowing that you're struggling, because I find that when others see that we struggle, people like me as a coach, when my members see that I struggle with things as well, it's like, it creates such a deeper connection and a bigger sense of respect for one another because we're human at the end of the day. So I can't pretend to be always 100% happy-go-lucky and perfect because it's not the reality. And if I continue to live under that impression, I'm essentially lying to myself. So like any lie, it's going to catch up. So it really is just about, okay, let me take a few steps back and see where I'm doing myself wrong. Have I stopped doing certain habits that help me keep, you know, lifted? What have I stopped doing in my routine that has empowered me? You know, what have I added to my routine that is sinking me? So definitely do take a step back and share this experience if you're comfortable, because it's just going to help others know that the ups and downs are never ending. They're going to always happen.
Yeah.
And the downs are just made to make us level up. You know, we're constantly growing and changing, and that's the beauty of being human, is that we have no limit. We are limitless, you know, and it's just about how much further we take it. Yes. So this is you getting ready to level up. Leveling
up.
To
level up. I like that.
Yes. It is level up.
I find myself that if I'm emotionally well and physically I'm not well, they're kind of interconnected, I guess. So not being physically well or fit, it's affecting, you know, elsewhere, you know, my thoughts and my patterns, and I want to just go in a hole and eat and then come out and be like, I'm
and then
okay.
Stuck in a bigger pattern. Yes, I totally understand what you mean, and it does. Like, our mind affects our body and our body affects our mind. That's why exercise of any form, whether it's yoga, swimming, sports, or actually training at a gym, it's a beautiful celebration of our body, you know, because our bodies were designed to move. We are literally built to move, and it's in the nature of our body. So if we're stagnant, or, you know, if we're constantly sitting on the table or the couch or the desk and we're not moving, our body does become depressed. You know, it depresses our body because it needs motion. It needs those chemicals. You know, that those chemicals that like endorphins, exactly, that help uplift our body and give us energy. And then at the same time, our mind affects our body, because if we're not caring for our mind, we're going to be doing mindless actions, like, for example, operating. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is about finding that perfect balance and caring for both at the same time, not, I'm going to first fix my body and then I'm going to fix my mind. It has to be done at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And with the intention of doing so.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And I'll listen to the rest of the show. And thank you.
We
Kelly,
have Kelly, call me this week. We'll catch up.
Yes.
Okay. We have to close out, and I thank you so much for calling in. Kelly's an amazing woman.
It was a pleasure, Kelly. Thank you.
I want to thank
all my callers tonight for calling in, all the people out there for listening, my guest, Cole. I'm not even going to say your last name. Coach Cole, a.k.a. the killer. You know, I wanted to say before, there were very few times ever that I could tell you were having a bad morning.
Yeah?
There were a few times I could tell because I guess we have like this, I don't know, mental connection. I don't know, is it a connection or we recognize things in ourselves in someone else?
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
So, you know, and I remember leaving the class and saying to the other people out there, good luck, she's in a mood.
You know, Bailey.
But it was maybe once or twice in the 2.5, you know, 2+ years that I had been to the gym because there were times I was injured and am injured. But you come in with such, like, I don't know how you do it. You're up since who knows what hour, starting classes at crazy hours, and you are, like, pepped up, and yes, you know, Celsius and coffee and caffeine does pick you up for a short time, but you just have this energy, and so many people connect to you on such a positive level. I mean, I see you always talking to someone, somebody coming to you, and it's incredible at such a young age how you've managed to make those connections, you know. Be proud of yourself because you inspire people that literally could be your mom. And that is incredible. Just listen, my callers and our listeners out there, you've inspired just the few of us here. I can't even imagine how many people out there you've inspired. And I know in the gym how many people you inspire. So you be proud because, you know, and never give up. You are... You know, a survivor, thriver, warrior, you are, I'm enough, never give up, all those things. And, you know, I wish we could have talked more about how you got into the whole fitness thing and you know, all that kind of stuff. And I pretty much could figure it out, but, you know, listeners probably would want to know. So anytime you would like to be back on the show, I think, what is it, October is Eating Disorder Month? I'm not sure. I don't remember. Mm. But when we have that month, hopefully you'll come back on and you'll have more to share. And, you know, it's, you know, a healing process, but you are an inspiration, really. Any last minute things you'd like to share?
Yes, definitely. I would love to say first how honored I am and how privileged I feel to be in this position. And frankly, it's you guys give me life. When I go into that gym, yes, I'm tired and maybe I'm struggling or something happened that you could probably see in my face for that moment. But just knowing that I have this community behind me and that I have the privilege to share my journey with them and be part of their journey, like your journey, Bailey, like those are the things that keep me grounded. Those are the things that keep me fighting, knowing that me being alive, somebody else. My life has purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's what the fitness industry gave me, ironically enough. It gave me purpose. It gave me a tool to help others and connect with others. So thank you. All I can say is I'm
and
so thankful.
So, but now you can be a podcast person.
Yeah.
You know, you can do some podcasts. And you know, I put this on LinkedIn. I mean, I think there's like 100 views already. Hopefully there'll be listeners, but I got a bunch of beautiful messages from people that, I know that I've done shows with, that, you know, hopefully they'll listen, not just view the show, you know, what I wrote. But you know, you never know. Somebody may want you on their show. Maybe they'll want you to speak, you know, I always tell my children, share your story, go on Instagram, you know, you have nothing to do, go on, do a live for
for something good, something positive,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
because you're going to,
yes.
you're going to inspire someone, you know? So my middle son sometimes will write stuff and put it out there and he gets likes galore. I mean, he it's unbelievable.
Oh,
people, they love him. They love him. So you turn bad into good, you change negative into positive and, you know, and that's how we get through life, you know?
1,000%. And like I was saying earlier, I believe that's really the lesson and the whole point of this is God is all about turning something evil into something good. You know, it doesn't have to be evil and bad. We can always make something become a blessing. And that's why I call my eating disorder a blessing because it's opened so many doors in my life.
Yeah.
You know, even though, yes, it took a few years out of my teenage life, but now it's opened so much opportunity and connection and community. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show tonight. And I hope you guys out there appreciated the show. Pass it on. It'll be uploaded to SoundCloud shortly. And I'm sure Cole inspired someone out there. I know she inspired us callers, me as the host, and every day she inspires me whenever I see her. So thank you again for making the time. I know it's late. I know you have to be up early. And, you know, I'm truly thankful for making the time to be on the Never Give Up show. And hopefully we'll have you again soon. I'm going to mute you. Thank you, Joe Koch, for giving me this Blog Talk Radio time. Thank you, Charlie, for helping me set this up 21 shows ago, and for being my host in the beginning and helping me get started. Thank you to all my callers, my guests. Thank you to the people out there listening. Again, the show is archived. The links are everywhere, and if you live in South Florida, come check out Intensity X3, West Boca and East Boca. We have amazing people, we're a great family, and like I said, even though I can't do much of a workout right now, I go there just to be around people, do my physical therapy, and and I would like to say again, Miami, Surfside, we are praying for you. You are in my thoughts every single moment of every single day since Thursday last. And to all the people out there that came from all over the world to help find a survivor or a body so their loved ones can move forward. So everybody have a wonderful evening. And thank you for being a part of the Never Give Up show. It means so much to me.
Perseverance, you can get things done. Sight of blind adherence that has conquered some. And nobody wants to know you're not. And nobody wants to show you how. You can see light, 'cause no one